Hello, this is Reverend Leslie here, and welcome to our weekend of angels in Advent. We're going to be reflecting in this service on the angels in the Bible, and particularly looking at those that are relevant to the Christmas story and the Nativity. So let's spend just a few moments just laying down the burdens of our day and just being still with God. Maybe as you shut your eyes, imagine what an angel for you may look like. Is it a being that has wings or not? Come, Lord Jesus, be with us as we reflect and understand the meaning of Scripture. Amen. Angels are, I believe, divine messengers, servants of God, you might say. They play a really big role in the worship of God throughout the Bible. And this morning we're going to explore some of those angels and try and understand as we prepare for the arrival of Christmas and the baby Jesus and the part that they played, angels played in that story. The weeks leading up to Christmas can be so busy and overwhelming. So let's sit with the angel this morning and reflect on how they can help us to come closer to God. If you were in the service that we're going to be holding at St. Martin's on Sunday morning, you would see the scroll that I have prepared. So I went through the Bible, well, I Googled this actually rather than went through the Bible, to identify how many times angels are mentioned throughout scriptures, right from Genesis through to Revelation. And would you believe it? It's actually 113 times angels are mentioned. Now you'd think, well, I thought that angels would probably be mentioned more in the Old Testament. But I was wrong, actually. They are mentioned a lot in the Old Testament, all the way through, right from Genesis, lots in the Psalms, in Daniel, which we'll learn about a little bit. But do you know, the one book that has the most numbers of references to angels is the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to have to explore that more, maybe not in this service, but why are angels mentioned so heavily in the book of Hebrews? Anyway, we're going to begin with our reading, which you will all recognise, which comes from Luke 2 and it's verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of a heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest of heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours." And in the service we'll be singing Angels from the Realms of Glory. So maybe in your own home you could maybe listen to that carol and listen to the words that it brings to mind. So just imagine, glory to God in the highest heaven. What is going on? On earth, peace among those whom he favours. Imagine seeing that heavenly host. Now, I think that angels are too important to ignore. Their very existence reminds us that there is more going on in this world than we can actually see or even understand. Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said, "Speak in many layers of meaning and mystery, trying to express the inexpressible. And if we ignore angels, our lives are going to be just that little bit poorer." I think it is exactly right. Angels are mysterious speakers in many layers of meaning. But God created them for a reason. And when we ignore angels, we miss out on something important, something that Scripture is trying to tell us. as I said, I thought there would be lots and lots of references in the Old Testament, but it's the New Testament where we see so many. But what are angels? And why does the Bible, what does the Bible say about them? And what should we believe about them? And what difference do they make to us today? So let's start off with, what is an angel? Well, there are two ways to answer that. First, we can agree, maybe, I don't know, with Martin Luther, who description of angels, he said, an angel is a spiritual creature, a personal being without a body, appointed for the service of the divine church. Okay. There are categories, I believe, of spiritual. These are not angels. Cherubim and seraphim are something very, very different. There are also archangels. There's Michael and Gabriel, spiritual beings that can reveal themselves to us when needed, but often go unseen. And Martin Luther also reminded us in his writings about this, that he said that angels can be thought of in a second way. They can be thought of as messengers from God. The word angelos or angel really means messenger, not one who carries letters as such, but one who is sent to deliver a message by word of mouth. And the name is commonly applied to in scripture to all messengers of God in heaven and on earth. And that maybe is relevant to us, because actually we could be messengers too, couldn't we? We could be messengers of God's story. We can be angels in that way. I quite like that idea. But we can think of holy angels as being something very different, heavenly beings that we cannot see unless they wish to be seen. And when we confess in the Nicene Creed, remember when we say what we believe, that it says that God has created us all in the seen and the unseen. Well, maybe we're confessing in our faith, amongst other things, that acknowledgement that angels are there. So the next hymn that we'll sing in the service would be Angel Voices Ever Singing. And maybe you would like to look that particular hymn up and listen to it yourselves. Angel Voices Ever Singing. Now I'm going to speak about guardian angels. So these angelic protectors, what are they all about? Divine messengers, servants of God, assigned to guard and protect believers from physical and spiritual harm. This idea is deeply rooted in the Bible, where angels are depicted as powerful beings who execute God's will and provide assistance to his people. Now, there is a reading from Daniel, which I'm going to give you shortly. And this is where Daniel is in the lion's den. So I'm reading from Daniel chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 16. So the king gave the order, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. And the king consoled Daniel by saying, "Your God, whom you continually serve, will rescue you." And then a stone was placed over the opening to the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with those of his nobles, so that nothing could be changed with regard to Daniel. And then the king departed this place, but he spent the night without eating, and no diversions were brought to him. He was unable to sleep. In the morning, in the earliest sign of daylight, the king got up and rushed to the lion's den, and he approached the den, and he called out to Daniel in a worried voice. "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you continually serve, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel spoke to the king. O king, live forever, he said. My God sent his angel and closed the lions' mouths so they would not harm me, because I was found to be innocent before him. Nor have I done any harm to you, O king. And then the king was delighted and gave an order to haul Daniel up from the den. So Daniel was hauled up out of the den, and he had no injury of any kind because he had trusted in God. So there we have the story of Daniel being protected because an angel of the Lord was sent to protect him. And actually, angels were sent to Daniel and spoke to him in all sorts of different ways, not just protecting him, but giving him encouragement and helping him understand dreams and all sorts of things. I remember many years ago, this was before I was ordained, I saw the then Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, speak at a conference, a clergy conference that I was sent to by John May, actually. And I can remember John Sentamu talking about a time when he was Bishop of Birmingham, and there were some terrible things going on in where he worked. And the church was getting lots of vandalism, and the vicarage where he lived, the home where he lived, kept getting broken into. I think he had his television stolen and all sorts of stuff went on. And he went away for a few days to reflect and to pray because he wasn't coping very well. And he only went to another part of Birmingham. And I don't know if you know Birmingham, but Birmingham is in a bit of a bowl and it's got hills around it. And he told us that he was in this other place, stood at the window at night and looking out towards where his church was. And what he could see above that church and in that area was a host of angels protecting the place that he had fled from because he was afraid. Isn't that amazing? And he said seeing those angels there just convinced him that he was not alone, that there was a host of angels out there that were helping him. And I also remember how when I worked in the prison, we used to get many groups coming into the prison to help us, other churches and Christian people that would come in. And they often would tell me how they prayed for us. They prayed for a host of angels to protect the prison. And one night I had a dream and I could see the angels surrounding. They were hovering above all of the fencing around Eastwood Park. And I was struggling at that time because I was, you know, it's hard work and difficult work sometimes. And I was struggling. And I felt like seeing those angels there armed me with God's protection. I put on God's armour and went back in and carried on to do other things in that job. So my question for you today is, what would you like to be protected from? Have you ever thought about asking for protection from God's angels? You don't need to ask them directly, but you can actually ask God to send angels to protect you. Maybe in your own time, you could spend some time just listening to some lovely music, something reflective, and maybe have that conversation with God, asking him if he can protect you. Or maybe it might be someone that you know is struggling themselves and they would like protection. So just spend a few moments just with someone else or by yourself. Maybe listen to some music or just sit in silence and just think about those things where you would like God to help protect you in your life. And I'll come back shortly, and then we will have some more stories from the Bible. These will become a little bit more nativity focused. So we're now going to look at the stories of the nativity where angels are present. And we're going to start off with the angel Gabriel. And we might think, oh, no, who did the angel Gabriel talk to? Well, the first person he talked to was Zechariah. Zechariah being the dad of John the Baptist. And there he was, Zechariah. He was in the temple because that's where he worked. And an angel appeared. And this is what it says. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. He will be your pride and joy, and many people will be glad that he was born. He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God, and he will go ahead of the Lord with the spirit and power that Elijah had. And he will change parents' attitudes towards their children. He will change disobedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those who have God's approval. And in this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." But Zechariah wasn't sure. Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is there of this? I'm an old man and my wife is beyond her childbearing years." And the angel responded, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. God sent me to tell you this good news. But because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day this happens." Imagine, everything will come true at the right time, said Angel Gabriel. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah. They were amazed that he'd stayed in this temple so long. And when he did come out, he was unable to speak to them. So they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he motioned to them, but remained unable to talk. When the days of his service were over, he went home. And later, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and didn't go out in public for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me now. He has removed my public disgrace." Well, she was talking about the fact that she had never had a child. So she was very, very happy. So we have that story. Then we have the angel Gabriel yet again. And this time he comes to speak to Mary. Listen to this. 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel yet again, but to Nazareth, to the city of Galilee. The angel went to the virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David, whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered their home, he greeted her and said, "You are favoured by the Lord. The Lord is with you." Well, she was very startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. And the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will become pregnant and you will give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus." Now, in our service at St Martin's, we would be listening now to a hymn called "The Angel Gabriel" from Kevin Kane. So maybe you would like to stop this recording and listen to that carol and listen to the words that it brings. Once you have done that, we will come back and we will start talking about Joseph. So Joseph, well, the angel appears to Joseph a lot, but actually, we're not told which angel. The first message arrived after Joseph learned of Mary's unexpected pregnancy and was contemplating divorcing her quietly. The angel appeared to him in a dream, confirming that the child conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. We hear that in Matthew 1:20. And the messenger instructs Joseph to take Mary as his wife and name the son Jesus, explaining what this meant. "He will save his people from their sins," it says in Matthew 1:21. This initial intervention served to validate for Mary what was going on. So the situation and for Joseph's legal role as the child's father. So actually, Joseph had a much better understanding because it must have been very complicated for him. Then there's another visit, and this occurred after the birth of Jesus, occurred after the Magi had departed from Bethlehem, actually, when the kings came. And they were following the star, remember? And the angel again appeared to Joseph in a dream with a direct command, warning Joseph that King Herod intended to search for and kill the young child. And Joseph was instructed to take the child and Mary and flee immediately to Egypt. Imagine, a young baby all the way to Egypt, only that donkey again, and remaining there until they received further notice. So not for a week, or it could have been, we don't know, he could have been there for years. Joseph's immediate obedience to this warning actually saved the family from Herod's subsequent massacre of many male infants in their region. It's quite terrible, horrific times. And then the third communication from the angel came when the family was still residing in Egypt, and the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to inform Joseph that Herod had died and that the threat to the child's life was over. And this instruction was simply to return to the land of Israel, as those who sought the child's life had now deceased. Joseph responded by gathering his family and beginning the journey back towards his homeland. But upon arriving in the region, Joseph learnt from Herod's son, Archelaus, who was now reigning over Judah, and that Judea, and that actually encompassed Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And this news created a new sense of fear regarding the safety of little baby Jesus. And this caused Joseph to hesitate and consider an alternative destination. And so the fourth and final warning to Joseph arrived in a dream, directing Joseph to avoid the danger of Judea by diverting his route. So actually, although it doesn't say which angel it was, the angels talked a lot to Joseph. And it says that following this instruction, the family travelled north and settled in the district of Galilee. They specifically moved to the town of Nazareth, which was their original hometown. So in the service, we would now sing another hymn, and we'll be singing While Shepherds Watched. So you might like to, before we go into our time of prayer, you might like to listen to a recording of, or sing, While Shepherds Watched. After that, we will go into our time of prayer. So bearing in mind all that we have learnt about angels, shall we sit together now in a time of prayer? I'm going to sing a Taizé chant to you to start the prayer time, and then I will read the prayers with you. O Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, hear our prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, hear our prayer. Come and listen to me. God of love, hear the cry of those who yearn for love-fractured families, for broken homes, neglected, unwanted, alone. God, send angels of protection. Loving God, hear our prayer. O God of justice, hear the cry of those who yearn for more justice to be done in this world. We pray for the persecuted and the oppressed, the exploited, the ill-treated, the broken. Lord, send your angels to speak truth into our world. God of justice, hear our prayer. God of peace, hear the cry of those who yearn for peace in battle-torn zones and broken states. We pray for those who are frightened and fearful and anxious. Lord, again, send your angels of protection. Lord of peace, hear our prayer. God of healing, hear the cry of those who yearn for healing, physical and spiritual hurting. For those that are weakened or depressed, let the wings of angels protect those in pain. God of healing, hear our prayer. And let the Spirit of our God fill this whole world. The Spirit of our God move over the deep. The Spirit of our God warm our hearts. The Spirit of our God fill all things. And we think of the angels in Genesis, in the story protecting the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden. We ask for that protection today. O Lord, hear our prayers. O Lord, hear our prayers. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, hear our prayer. Come and listen to me. And let us together say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So I hope you've enjoyed just learning a little bit more about the angels. And there is so much more that we could understand and know. Maybe we can explore them together another time. But throughout Scripture, angels are portrayed as real participants in the worship of God. Their roles as worshippers, as proclaimers, as assistants, as protectors highlight their function in the divine order and their contribution to glorifying who God really is. As being created to serve and honour the Almighty, angels provide a celestial example of worship that I hope inspires you and informs you on our own worship practices and what we believe. So I'm going to finish with a blessing for you all, and may I wish you a very Merry Christmas, because if I don't see you, if you're not in church on Sunday, I may not see you until the new year. So may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men and the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.